Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for sharing your Thursday with us. My guest this evening is Melissa Risden, who is going to teach us how to turn our inner critic into a raving fan, which I would personally love to do. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And did you ever have one of those days, actually one of those weeks, months, or years, but one of those days? I had like a string of one of those days. For the first time ever, I missed a phone appointment with somebody, and it's because I changed the scheduling system and it didn't have reminders and la, la, la. But it was just, how did that happen? Why did that happen? And the rest of the day, probably for 3 or 4 hours, I was doing something I do all the time, every week. I was updating my blog. I had to put a media file into the blog post, and it just would not work. And I did all the tricks that you do when you do this a lot, and had to call tech support for the folks that serve the audio. And eventually figured it out, but by then, the day was shot. So I was scratching my head about that. And today, I figured everything was going really well, and I had a dentist appointment in the morning, and it's a place about half an hour away, and I got on the road, and realized I had taken the wrong road north and I didn't know how to get there from here. I got there on time. It all worked out fine. But I was like, what is going on? And what's going on is a lot. As you know, we're preparing for our night before the world doesn't end party here on the Farkas Files. And we're going to have some folks that know a whole lot about what is happening, what the alignments mean, what the energetic changes and transitions mean, but it doesn't mean the world's going to end on the 21st. And part of all of that is the idea of ascension. We've talked about this before. And ascension is the idea that everything is energy, and the frequency at which that energy is vibrating on this planet at this time is rising. And one way of looking at that is the light's getting brighter. So when people are exposed to a higher vibration, healing happens. That's a good thing. But part of the way that healing happens is that anything which is not vibrating at that new higher vibration gets pushed up to the surface to be healed and released. And that pretty much looks like your life going to hell in a handbasket. Things come up that you don't want to come up. Things come up that you didn't know about. All kinds of things get shuffled around. And, you know, people say, oh, that's such a weird concept. But part of what's happening at the same time is in the physical world, there are representative things that are happening. So there are more solar flares and more powerful solar flares than there have been in, I don't know, I have a friend who tracks that stuff, and it's been a really long time. This is a high point in the cycle. At the same time, there is an alignment of lots of planets with the center of the galaxy. Happens once every, I think, 26,000 years or something like that. I don't know exactly what that means. My guests on the 20th will know more about it than I do. But I do know that if you line up lots of big rocks, there's got to be something that's happening with that. There's a solar wind, and it's blowing the magnetic field of the Earth to one side of the planet. And that means we're getting more solar radiation. Everything is heating up. And also it's changing the weather. There are more volcanoes. There are all kinds of other things that are happening that indicate that things are shifting. The North Pole has been creeping across the top of the planet at an alarming rate for decades now. So all these things are changing, and people are just going around doing what they always do. They haven't heard about this. They don't know about this. But every once in a while, something happens and they go, what is going on? Why does my day, my life, my insert whatever the question is, look like this today? This makes no sense. Well, it makes a lot of sense. And it makes a lot of sense because we're in this incredible time of change, this incredible time of transition, and a very positive transition. But even positive transitions are demanding. And change is frequently scary. And so here we are. There is a Chinese curse, which I love to quote at times like this, which says, may you live in interesting times. And here we are in one of the most interesting times that has ever been on this planet. And we'll be talking more about that. And in 2 weeks, we will have our Night Before the World Doesn't End show and talk about it a whole lot. So that's tonight's metaphysical music. And now for our lovely guest, Melissa Risden. You with us, Melissa?
I am. I'm right here.
Thank you for being with us.
I was just saying, I'm excited and grateful to be here, and I so agree with all the things that you were just sharing. You know, we're just in such a flux of change right now.
Yeah, and most people are just, as we used to say in the old neighborhood, doing their sidewalk act. You know, they're just doing what they always do and saying the same things and doing the same things and thinking they'll work the way they always worked, and they don't. And then they get all freaked out that things are changing. But you do some fascinating work. Tell me a little bit about what you do. You talk about turning your inner critic into a raving fan.
Well, I'm a huge believer, and especially in this day and age, that there's so many of us that are searching for, you know, our purpose, our greater meaning in life. I hear so many people talking about there's this sense of more. I need to be doing more. And it's not like accumulating more physical things, but it's just this bigger purpose, this higher purpose. And I feel there's so many people kind of awakening to this higher calling. And, you know, I myself went through that process. And I'm a huge believer that you really need to be a fan of who you are today and who you are meant to be. And you really need to believe in yourself. You need to fall in love with yourself. And from my own journey, I've created a process that I call turn your inner critic into a raving fan. I use the word inner critic generically of just speaking of any of one of many of the voices that are inside of your head that is critical, you know, is critic of you, of what you do, of how you handle situations, of what you should have done, of what you didn't do. And, we all have it. And I really think it's not a voice that ever goes away. I believe there's a purpose and beautiful messages within that criticism. And it's now just redefining the relationship that you have with that part of yourself so that it's a healthy relationship and it's positive communication. And, you know, you are someone that is a fan of yourself and believes in yourself. And, go ahead.
It sounds like an exciting process, but I want to hear more about your story and your journey. So, because it's one of the things we do on the show all the time, talking about each person's walkabout and the challenges that they've gone through. But I think it's a good way for people to understand what you do.
I love that you just said walkabout. I've never really thought of it in those words, but
all healers in particular are on a constant walkabout. It's just whether or not you're noticing that you're out there by yourself learning stuff. It looks like you're not because, you know, we're in the modern world and we're not in the wilderness, but
right.
But emotionally and energetically, we're on walkabout all the time.
Yeah, I agree. Well, me, I would say now, you know, I turned 40 this year, and I would say I have this, you know, wonderful relationship with God, my higher self, the universe. I feel in tune and in flow. I feel that I have an intuition. I'm also now learning about my own healing sense and accepting that about myself. But 10 years ago, I was a completely different person. I was in my first year of marriage and was starting to realize that this was not working. It was not at all what I was expecting it to be. I did not have a spiritual or religious belief. I was not sure that God even existed. And it, you know, in the next 12 months, just really realized that this dream that I had had my whole life since I was a little girl, you know, I was going to grow up, I was going to get married, I was going to get a house, a dog, have a baby, and then my life was going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I know that. You know, I know that one.
It was basically my life was going to be fixed. And, you know, it just, it wasn't. You know, my ex-husband and I, you know, went through the divorce together, and it was something I would say that was the most painful thing that I've ever gone through. And at this point on the whole, you know, other side of it, it's something I'm extremely grateful for. But at the time, it was not something that I was happy with. You know, we did 8 months of counseling together. Through that, you know, I was introduced to the world of, you know, marriage counseling, personal therapy. I came across, you know, the late night infomercials with Tony Robbins, like so many other people do, and just really started immersing myself in this self-help world and this self-awareness. And I remember very significant things that people said to me that really hit home with me. One of my very first days of, you know, going to therapy and crying my eyes out about being divorced and just in this, you know, hitting rock bottom, you know, she lovingly turned back to me and said, well, Melissa, life is about having a relationship with yourself. Mm-hmm. And David, I didn't have a clue what she meant by that. Right. I didn't understand that, you know, she meant it's about understanding your feelings and your emotions and your wants and your needs and communicating that to others. I grew up my whole life as a people pleaser. You know, I grew up always, I was the second child and always wanted to do things that was right. You know, the good girl, I was the one that was caught up with that. And of course at, you know, 32, kind of wake up and it's like, oh my God, I'm miserable. I hate my life. I've just now gotten divorced and I'm, you know, just depressed. And, it was soon after that, after kind of I was still functional, but it was, you know, a deep depression for me. I went on a retreat in Fiji, and the moment was so significant for me. It was one of the first times in my life that I ever felt love for myself.
Mm.
And it was just one of those things that it really rocked my world in the sense of, wow, like I do care about myself and I love myself. And it was an emotion I had never felt, never fathomed. And it was also in that same couple of days, someone explained what God meant to me. And it was finally a definition that made sense. Mm-hmm. You know, he said to me, he's like, God's everywhere. It's the moon, it's the stars, it's the trees, it's the water, it's the beach, it's us, it's everywhere. And that was the first time in my life. I'm very, you know, scientific, I'm very logical. And it was finally one of those things that I was like, that makes sense. I can really relate to that. And I would say that event and those couple of days, you know, except, you know, understanding what God meant to me and having it fit and also feeling love for myself for the first time really kind of opened my whole world to diving deeper into who I am, what am I meant to do, what's my purpose, what's this calling. And through that, just really discovered what my own relationship was with myself, which was not healthy, which was not happy. I was mean to myself. I was, you know, growing up constantly asking myself, what's wrong with me? And whenever you ask that question, you can find a detrimental answer and a flaw in yourself. You know, sure. It's not a healthy question.
Right.
And it really kind of propelled me forward that I'm like, I don't want anyone else to have to go through what I went through. And I found out, you know, the more you talk to people and the more you share and the more they open up to you is that people, we are cruel and mean to ourselves. We say things to ourselves we would never say to another human being. And yet it seems to be that it's okay. It's kind of the norm. And it's, you know, that quote I keep saying, I'm going to look it up, but it's whomever said whenever they said it. But, you know, the one of no matter where you go, there you are. It's like,
yeah.
We're always with ourselves. So let's be happy on the inside. And let's enjoy being with ourselves, because it's 24/7. We're here.
Right. Right. And the next level of that is that you attract a reflection of both your positive and your negative characteristics. So as you change yourself, the people that get drawn into your life, into relationship with you, are different kinds of people.
Yeah.
And I actually have watched over, especially the last 10 years, how the women that show up in my life have reflected the changes in who I am and how, you know, call it progress or how I've changed or mm-hmm. whatever. They've been very different people. Because the world's a reflection of your inner world.
Yes. Yes, and I think it's the more that, you know, I had no idea at the time how profound that statement was going to be about life, about having a relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, you know, I'm now aware that the moment there's more than three, you know, items of clothing on my bedroom floor, that that's a sign that stuff is getting messy on the inside. And now that I'm aware of it, you know, I the days that I'll notice it, I'll do things differently that will help me lift my spirit, you know, help me change my state of mind, because I may not be conscious of what's going on, or I may be ignoring what's going on. It's just the outer world is a complete reflection of your inner world.
Right.
I completely
right.
agree.
I'm just chuckling because I have a 17-year-old daughter, and as you may have seen at some point in your life, either yourself or in someone else's room, it's a horizontal closet. It's like everything's on the floor. And it's just, you know, she's a teenager. Her life is,
yeah.
Her inner life is chaos. There's so much change. So,
so
tell me about the process, because you obviously learned some methods that worked for you, and you've come up with ways to share them with other people.
Yeah, on my journey, I was introduced to NLP, and if people aren't aware of what those initials stand for, it's for neuro-linguistic processing, which basically is a whole lot of fancy words to just basically say that, you know, your brain is kind of like a computer in a sense, and we know that we've got nerves and, you know, neurological processing going on, and the language that we use really reflects in the behavioral patterns that we do. And I loved this teaching because it was all about words and language, because once mm-hmm. I became aware of what words I was using and language I was using internally, I was really aware that I could make different choices. I could start talking to myself differently, and my life changed tremendously, you know, from that. And I've just always kind of been fascinated with how people communicate and why they communicate. And so I really just started, you know, kind of honing in from working with clients, from just, you know, interactions with friends, from my own self-discovery of within the Turn Your Inner Critic into a Raving Fan, created a process that I call the Inner Foundation Formula. And it's, you know, it's a five-step high-level process that anybody can do from any period of time. And I can go through the steps if you'd like me to tell more. Would that kind of help the listeners?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I want to hear the process, and I also want to hear a little bit more about the mechanics of NLP, so people can, you know, kind of wrap their head around what you're talking about. So whichever feels right to start with.
Well, I'll just go through kind of the high level steps, because I think it makes sense that. The first step is in the word inner. So it's INNER. And that first step is really about identifying where you're at. There's so many people talking right now about dreams of moving forward. Where do you want to be? And I think people a lot of times just forget to take a look at the, you know, where they're standing. And I always use the analogy of, you know, if you want to get to San Francisco, whether you're in Florida or if you're in Paris, neither one is good or bad. It's just you're going to have different choices and make different decisions based on where you're at to where you want to be.
Right.
So getting people, you know, conscious of what's going on. The ends can be interchangeably. I usually like to start people with the notice all of the personalities, I would say, of your inner critic and what is going on, what language are you using. Start to have conversations just as if you would with a person that you were in a, you know, romantic or work relationship with. Just start having open and honest conversations to really understand. I have seen time and time again that there is beautiful messages behind the criticism, and it's getting behind the harsh words to really mm-hmm. find out what is that part of you protecting you from, keeping you safe, and how can they say it differently so you can hear it in a way that's loving and supportive. The second N is it's all about accountability. It's all about in the now and in the present. And, you know, what are you going to choose differently now by understanding where you're at and understanding, you know, what's going on inside your head? The E is all about being empathetic to yourself. You know, how many mm-hmm. of us would have done things, you know, differently, with the old saying of, if I only knew then what I know now. And so many of us would have made different choices. So it's, you know, looking back at all the junk that you're still carrying on, the baggage of your life, being empathetic and forgiving to yourself. And mm-hmm. then the last part is really about respecting, you know, who you are and respecting yourself above everyone else in a sense that is, you know, loving and respectful and supportive. You know, it's lovingly sharing what your needs and what your wants are. In a respectful way to you and to whomever it is that you're communicating with. And, you know, just understanding, you know, who you are. It all seems to go back to that first thing, you know, my therapist told me over 10 years ago, life's about having a relationship yourself.
Right.
So that's just a real, you know, high-level glimpse of those steps. And you know, right. There's more depth in any of that when you actually start working with somebody. You know, you get to the nitty gritty, and I think at some point, if you believe in past lives, I believe I was somewhat of a confessional, because I find that I start talking with people and within minutes they just start confessing their deepest, darkest secrets.
Well, obviously you make them feel safe. We have a few minutes to the break. I want to make sure people know how to get in touch with you. So why don't you give your contact information?
I just have kept everything as my name. So it's melissarisden.com. And my first name, Melissa, is M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Risden, R-I-S-D as in David, O-N.com. And you can, you know, find out more about me. You can on there download the Inner Critic book. It's an free ebook. And, you know, ask me any questions that you feel comfortable with.
Fantastic. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this whole idea of talking to yourself, because I know there are probably at least a few people chuckling in the background about having conversation mm-hmm. with yourself. To which my answer is always, talking to yourself is fine as long as you don't have arguments and lose. and lots of people do. So, one of the things I noticed in the materials you sent was a reference to hypnosis and NLP being like hypnosis. Can you give us a quick definition there?
Yeah, people sometimes get a little bit of weary of when they hear the word, you know, hypnotic or hypnosis. And when I was there years ago as well, because I didn't understand what it was. It's helping somebody realize something. How do I want to say it? I've got like six different ways I want to say it. So there's your conscious brain, and then there's your unconscious brain. And what is unconscious, you know, is what keeps you breathing, keeps your heart pumping, your muscles moving, all those kinds of things. And there's also beliefs and words and things happening that I would say that we're unconscious, we're unaware of. So hypnosis is just one of the ways to help people through, you know, limiting beliefs, through trauma, of really talking to the unconscious mind. So kind of, you know, like the mind that is asleep in a sense.
Right.
And it's just one of many techniques to help people move through whatever, you know, problem or challenge that they're dealing with. And
we're going to have to go to the break. We're going to come back and pick up right here. We'll be back in a few minutes on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year, the majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
My sport is football, but my passion is education. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah, and this is how I live United. I see too many kids miss out on moving up. Kids who could go on to college, but just need that extra little push. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. We check out the dorms, the library, meet some professors, find out where the best late-night grub stops are. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. I'm Nnamdi Asamoah. I show kids that a higher education means a brighter future. So when it comes to living United, I don't just wear the shirt, I live it. Join me.
It takes all of us working together to make a difference. Find out how you can live United for Education. Give, advocate, volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface. Meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Melissa Risden, who was telling us about hypnosis and NLP and how she uses it in her process. But first, I want to give the call-in phone number in case we have listeners who are just dying to join the conversation. Well, not dying, but would like to. That number is 248-809-3475, 248-809-3475. Give us a call. So, Melissa, hypnosis. a way of having a conversation with the part of you that is unconscious or subconscious. So how does that work?
You know, it's when you're in a state of hypnosis, you're aware of what's going on. You're conscious of what's happening. You're just a lot more relaxed with what's going on, and you're more receptive to suggestions. You're more receptive to, like, letting go, moving through stuff. I know probably a lot of people have seen the kind of routines that people do, and I know when I went through my class, you know, we did some of that stuff that you make people do, some, you know, funny or embarrassing things.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is that you will not do something under a hypnotic state that you would not do. So there was, in our classroom, the guy made a joke and had me under hypnosis, you know, ride a broom like it was a little horse, like a kid would do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me and my conscious mind and me not being in a hypnotic state can be very kid-like. I can easily embarrass myself. I'll do cartwheels in the middle of the street. So that was something I would do. And so you're not going to do anything under hypnotic state that you wouldn't do under a non-hypnotic state. And you are conscious of what's happening. It's just one of many different formats for helping people. And
mm-hmm.
just, you know, through language of getting you in a very kind of relaxed, kind of sleepy-ish state without going to sleep, and, you know, having a conversation and helping you deal with stuff that's kind of either stuck in the unconscious or subconscious area, and help move you through it. I prefer to use the word unconscious because it just is not conscious. I know the sub for me feels like it's beneath or less than,
right.
But I know they're used completely interchangeably. They mean exactly the same thing. That was just the definition that landed with me.
Right. Well, so it sounds like hypnosis is in some ways similar to a meditative state where you're very, very relaxed and very aware. Obviously, in hypnosis, you're being guided through it, and in meditation, you're putting yourself into that state through whatever focus you're using. Do I have that right?
Yeah, and there's even a part of it, and this comes from my own, you know, experience of being the one in it and also taking someone else through it. There's very much a trust that happens with it. If you don't trust the other person, you're not going to go into a hypnotic state with
right.
them. You may even feel a little like you're consciously a little confused, but there's kind of like a knowing that you're being taken on a journey, and you'll just answer questions. And it's funny sometimes because you'll ask somebody questions and get them to start talking about stuff. You know, it's like, do you have a great relationship? And you just start asking questions. You know, do you have a great relationship with your mom? Well, their conscious mind wants to be like, yeah, of course it's great. And they hear themselves like, no, it's horrible. And you can even see their eyes like, you know, it's just childlike honesty that comes out of people. And it's just it's a great way to resolve issues.
Mm-hmm. And so you would do this in sessions with people? Can you do this over the phone?
For selfish reasons, I prefer to do that one in person because mm-hmm. I love to see the expression on people's faces when they're going through it. It can be very entertaining, and there's so many little things that you can pick up on, you know, the way people's eyes twitch, or, you know, the way their face flushes, or, you know, the way their eyes, you know, they might start blinking when you kind of come up upon realization. So that's one I really prefer to do in person.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people do. It's also too, because there are times that you can stumble upon something that can be kind of an ugly or a scary spot.
Right.
And I just find it's very safe and secure when you're with someone to be able to break their state of mind.
Right.
If you do get to a part that's, you know, scary for their unconscious mind.
Sure. And a lot of this is challenging to the unconscious mind. It wants to be unconscious.
Right.
That's why it stuck this stuff there. So how does NLP relate to this? And what is NLP? How does it work? What do you do?
NLP is just it's a form of it's a form of communication in the personal development world. It's it's a form of like psychotherapy, and it really refers to the connection between your brain, like the neurological processes in your brain, mm-hmm. the language that is used, like conscious and unconscious, and your behavior patterns. What it is that basically it's like your brain gets programmed. I forget what the statistics are, but it's like you receive how many thousands of bits of information every single second of every single day. But your brain deletes a lot of them so we can actually focus, find our car keys, get in the car, and drive. And so with NLP, it's just a way to help people to see other things in a different light. Mm-hmm. It's basically one of those things. They've done tests with the brain on like the neurological sensors and how things line up. They've actually done research that when your language pattern starts changing, the neurological endings can actually switch gears and line up differently with inside the brain. I don't have all the exact brain, neurological terminology correct, but they do have videos where like the synapses of the nerve endings actually switch gears. It's just like with any of us, some of us, like I grew up hating broccoli. And when I was going through my NLP training, I was like, okay, let's go through some exercises and make me like broccoli. And I love broccoli now. I mean, I love it. At 25, I hated it. Like I wanted to get sick near it, but it was conscious. It was something I wanted to do. And I was like, let's go through an exercise where we can, realign the programming basically in my brain, which is like a computer, and let's switch something, go from something I hate to really enjoying it. And it's just a way with language. It's basically just a way with language to reprogram your brain.
So, all my computer programming friends will probably be giggling.
Well, I do have an IT nerdy background as well in corporate right. America, so I could definitely talk about some stuff.
Well, I've got a couple of friends that can program in the languages that are no longer taught anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And then in the computer industry, they're called dinosaurs. And I tell them, no, you're a pterodactyl. You fly. So having the right language and speaking the right, even within the computer metaphor, knowing the right language and knowing being fluent in the right language makes all the difference. Because otherwise, you never fix the problem.
Which is kind of what got me fascinated on our internal talk, because I would see someone who wanted to, lose weight. Maybe it was they wanted to lose 10 pounds for summer that was coming, yet they were constantly talking about how, I'm so fat and I don't look good and I've got a muffin top. Us women, you guys, you poor men, you see this all the time. I know you guys can be critical of your looks. I just think it's... I think we're a little worse on that. And mm-hmm. I would just see people that it's like, how in the world are you ever going to lose weight if you're constantly telling yourself you're fat? Because if you're fat, you're going to do certain things that fat people do. It's that you're going to do, I'm fat, so I'm going to do things that make me fat because I'm constantly telling myself I'm fat. And it's just like things when people say, don't look over there. Everybody immediately like looks over there because our brain doesn't really hear the negatives. It doesn't hear the don'ts.
Right.
Swimming pools are a great thing. Don't run. Don't run.
Right.
Stop running. The kids don't hear it. If somebody yells walk, which is the end result of what don't run means, somebody says walk, please, the kids immediately walk.
Right,
because you're it's a command that you're being said, it's, you know, for your own safety. So one of the things, like with NLP and the internal language, it's really saying the language that needs to be said, so you're doing what needs to be done. So you're changing the way that you think. And it's sometimes literally as simple as that. Instead of saying I'm fat, I'm thin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you are or not, your brain doesn't know. Your unconscious brain is like a 4-year-old. It doesn't know. So just, I'm thin. I'm going to start doing things that thin people do. I'm going to start eating healthy. I'm going to start, I'm going to stop drinking my coffee because thin people don't do that. I mean, it's literally like your brain just starts reprogramming and understanding what it is it needs to do because it doesn't hear the don'ts.
Right. Well, it also, that fits with the idea of the law of attraction where you're going to bring to you whatever it is you focus on. So if your focus and your language is I'm fat, then you will confirm that and attract to you things that will confirm it.
Yeah.
Until you stop saying that and say what you want, which is being thin or however you want to put it,
or
you're going
I'm
to continue.
Healthy, you know, whatever
yeah.
works for you.
Whatever word doesn't bring up some other association that's
right.
that's you're going to resist. But you know, in terms of the law of attraction, you would say that what you focus on expands and you get more of what you focus on. So if you focus on what's wrong with you, you get more of what's wrong with you, and the payoff is you get to be right. See, I told you.
It's so true, and I do look at, like you said, you know, like what's wrong is, I grew up just constantly asking myself that. And so I started to really look at, you know, what was behind that, those words, what was behind that message, what needs did it meet, what values did it line up with, you know, what did it make, how did it make me feel, what did it make me do? And I realized that in every situation, it was this kind of feeling of seeking information, seeking an immediate answer, and immediately course correcting. So, you know, I would be in a situation, I would be talking with a group full of people, and I would say something that I deemed was stupid or embarrassing, and I'd be like, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? The answer would immediately come up is like, well, you just need to, you know, be away from these people because you're just so stupid. I can't believe you just said that. So I found information, I found an answer, and then I course corrected and walked away.
Right.
Well, of course, I don't feel good after this. You know, it doesn't help me. It just, you know, fits these needs, and I wasn't seeing how in any way that language was serving me. So I really started to do a deep dive on what it was, and really found out that what I'm looking for in that moment was what's the message. You know, what's the information that I need to know at this moment in time. And it really didn't make it about me anymore. And it fit all of those same needs. I was seeking information in a moment. I was getting an immediate answer. I was able to course correct if necessary. So now, in a moment, I may say something that's, I may judge as, you know, stupid. I instead of saying what's wrong with me, I'll say what's the message. You know, and sometimes it's as simple as, you know, listen. You know, stop talking and listen. And it comes from such a place of love that it's such a much better feeling of asking myself that, like, that primary question that I've been asking myself over and over, of asking it in a new way and asking it in a way that supports me and is loving towards me and fits, you know, some of that same angst or feeling that I was getting with the old question of what's wrong with me.
Right. Right. So you mentioned releasing. Are there specific letting go techniques for letting go of the emotions involved? Or maybe I just made that up because I thought you said that.
I don't know if that's how I would say it, but yeah, I mean, yes, in fact, that is what happens. I would say with anything, when you kind of bring stuff up to your conscious mind and you're aware of it and you make new choices, there's, you know, releasing of old patterns, there's releasing of, you know, built-up energies. And, you know, I think that can really come along anywhere in the process.
I use that language because that's some work that I do. There are a number of releasing techniques that I use, and I think I'm always fascinated with the parallels between different methods. You know, the different kinds of approaches. So you could use a releasing method and get similar results, or at least part of the process that you're doing. And that wouldn't be appealing to a lot of people, you know, and the method that you use is very appealing to lots of people. So I'm just always fascinated with the different healing modalities and how they're constructed.
Yeah, and I look at it too, like there's so many people out there that are, you know, starting businesses that are healing, that are helping, and it's that if you're listening and, you know, I or David or anyone else resonates with you, I so invite people to follow that nudge, follow that inclination, because the only way you're going to change your life is if you're in movement. It's a journey. So if, you know, if David speaks to you, you know, find out more about him, find out how you can work with him. If I speak to you, you know, do the same, because it's such a time, I think, of change right now, and rapid change, and it's just such a time for people to be awake and aware. And it's an exciting time. Like I believe we're all here for a reason, and we chose this time. And it's like we're here now when this big change is happening. Like, this is exciting.
Right, and I do have my days when I say I volunteered for this. Now, would I do that?
I know. I was joking with someone because we're joking about the end of the world. I go, well, if it is the end of the world, I'm like, I'm excited because guess what? I got to live it. I got to see it. If it's the end of the world, I'm here for it. How many other people can say that? They were right. Are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, I am serious. This is an exciting time.
Right, right. Well, the end of the world as we know it is a more accurate thing.
And I agree.
You know, the problem is that the people who live fearful lives are asking their spiritual advisors questions like, when should I kill my child so that they won't have to experience that? I mean, there's some pretty crazy fearful things going on. Yeah, I'm hearing some stories that are really frightening. So I try to make fun of it.
I look at it, I'm kind of rock my world there. Like, I haven't heard anything like that. I mean, I look at it that it's like we're just in this, you know, beautiful time. It's just we're souls having a human experience, and you know, life and death is part of it. And this is not a time to, you know, be afraid. This is a time to really rejoice and, you know, understand what's going on.
Right. Right. Totally agree. But there are a lot of fearful people, and that's part of the reason that I'm going to spend the next two shows actually talking about information about the transition and what's going on and what's actually happening. Of course, we have kind of a self-selecting audience, so it's not likely to be the people that are freaking out and doing all the fear stuff, but we'll see.
But it's aware, you know what I mean? They may bump into somebody the next day that is having issues with it, and something that they hear on your show, they can share.
Exactly. It's the ripple effect. So give people an idea of how they can work with you. What kind of...
Anyone can download the free ebook and look in more detail of the process that I highlighted. I'm definitely in a phase of working on with clients one-on-one, which is just something I love to do. And in January, I'm going to have a couple of different small group programs that I'm going to probably keep to 5, maybe 10 people max. I may just keep it at 5 because I think there's just something of going through the process. There's such a healing period to it that I may just kind of keep it a little bit smaller, a little more intimate.
And where are you located? Where will the trainings be?
I'm going to do all of those virtually. So, you know, one-on-one can be over the phone or on Skype, and the same thing with the group. we're gonna be doing it virtually. So this is something that you can do in the comfort from your own home in your pajamas with messy hair.
Which is always funny for me because, well, you've seen my picture. So let's give everybody your contact information again so we don't forget before the end of the show.
Yeah, please contact me at melissarisden.com. It's M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Risden, R-I-S-D-O-N.com. And they can find out, more about me. There's a link right on there for the ebook. If they want to talk to me, there's a link on there that people can fill out a discovery session application and find out, what it would be like to work with me. I always say that, we get on the phone, we talk for an hour, it's 100% free, and we figure out if working with me is the next best step or working with someone else is the next best step, but just, getting people kind of comfortable on where they need to head.
Fantastic. I like that phrase, discovery session. Very good. It has a nice feeling to it. Do you have any events coming up in the near future?
I don't have any live events at the moment. I do have an internet radio show as well called Raving Fan Radio, which is live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. You can also find that on melissarisden.com. And for now, yeah, I don't have any live events coming up, but that's kind of a big intention of mine for 2013. Mm-hmm. So that information will be on my website when it's there. And I'm always looking for groups to talk to share my message with. So that would be another thing. If a listener likes what I said and wants me to come share with them some more, I would love that.
Fantastic. Yeah, and as you can tell, I'm a big fan of internet radio shows, so all the best with your show. That's a wonderful way to get the message out and to get people to know what you do.
Yeah, and I love it. It's like I love finding people. You go on the internet and you start searching, and I stumble upon you and your message, and it's like, hey, I feel like I should contact this guy because there's other people you see, and you don't feel that. Like it doesn't resonate with you. It's a different right. vibration, whatever it may be. So I always say when there's that kind of inclination of like, pay attention to what that is and right. follow up on it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, me too.
We had a wonderful time and the hour just cruised right by.
Always.
So thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, David. I enjoyed it.
Okay. We will talk again, I'm sure.
Definitely.
So I wanted to let people know what's happening for the next 2 weeks because it's a little bit different from what we've done before. Next week, I'm going to have Heather Ainsworth, who's a psychologist, an astrologer, a shaman, and I'm not sure how many other modalities she works in, but she's pretty amazing. I was going to ask her to be one of our expert panel members for the Night Before the World Doesn't End show, and she wasn't available that night because she's going to be doing things for the solstice. So she's going to be with us on Thursday, December 13th. The following week, Thursday, December 20th, the day before 12/21, the infamous end of the Mayan calendar, we will be doing our show with several people, including folks that have been on with us several times. Claudia McNeely is going to be with us, John Schulte. And we're going to have a third person, but of course the list is not in front of me, so I'm embarrassed. I apologize. And we're going to have a great time. We're going to both talk about what's really happening, what the alignments of the planets are, what the various people have been channeling from non-physical entities about the meaning of this time, what the Mayan calendar really is about, and those kinds of things. So we can really create a context for this transition, which is a major transition, but the world's not coming to a physical end. There are going to be shifts in what the world is like, but they won't happen overnight either. They've been happening all along. If you're curious about my work, because I am, in effect, the village shaman for a global village, you can go to househealing.com, and on the contact tab, cleverly hiding is every conceivable methodology for getting a hold of me. You can send me email, call my voicemail, and you can have, I'll now call it a discovery session, a complimentary 20 minutes, sometimes more, session for me to take a look at what's going on with you, do a little psychic scan, do an assessment. You can tell me what's going on and see whether my work is appropriate for what your situation is. And I work with people. I work on land and buildings. I work on businesses, situations, and even travel problems, which used to be a big part of what I did. So I'm looking forward to the next 2 weeks because we're going to have a very special time, and I hope you'll be with us. So until then, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. See you next week.